This is the 2 North Jackson Podcast with news, insights, details, and accomplishments from Alabama's 67 county governments. Welcome to the 2 North Jackson Podcast for January 2023. This month we'll focus on response and leadership in times of disaster, Alabama in the national spotlight, and the relationship between state agencies and local officials. We'll start this month with a discussion of a tragic day in Autauga County, January 12th. And Jay Thompson, the chairman of the Autauga County Commission and president of the association, is with us to talk about the role of county commissioners in responding on this kind of tragic day. Jay, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being a part of the January 2 North Jackson podcast. And January 12th, just a normal day. There was nothing special about that day until a tornado started bearing down on Autauga County. We had a little bit of warning, and you had some preparation work the day before, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But let's look back to when you first became a county commissioner. I don't suspect when you were campaigning you told anybody you wanted to be a commissioner because you would do a good job in bad weather.
No, son, it's not anything I thought I'd be doing as a county commissioner would be worried about the weather. I thought it was all going to be dirt roads and paved roads and getting the trash picked up on the sides of the roads and at people's residence. Didn't really know how it was going to have anything to do with weather situations. Didn't really know that was a part of it. But one thing I did early on was try to get involved with our EMA because I didn't know what our EMA did. It was an office that I knew we had. I'd seen them in parades. I knew they always had nice vehicles,
yeah.
And they threw candy out in parades. Other than that, that's about all I knew our EMA did. So early on, there was a new commissioner that we came in office at the same time, Commissioner Sid Thompson. We decided we would get involved with a CERT program, and that was a community emergency response teams program that our EMA was doing where they teach our community representatives how to respond during a disaster.
Yeah.
So we figured if we get involved with that, at least we'll know a little bit what EMA does. You know, we were allocating money in our budget to EMA, so I figured we probably need to know a little bit what they did since we were giving them money every year.
And that gave you at least a window into, again, what is on the day when we find ourselves in the crosshair, perhaps the most important function in county government, but it's not the most glamorous, and it's not the one that caused you to decide to run for election. And that doesn't make you any different than anybody else as a county commissioner.
No, it doesn't. And of course, it gave us a very small glimpse in what we would do as a county commissioner. Of course, we had not had a big tornado in a pretty long time in Autauga County that had any deaths or destruction like the one a couple weeks ago did. But we decided as a commission, we thought it would be good to do a community response plan. And FEMA had a program where all of our community leaders could go up to Emmitsburg and do a community response. And they'd mock up what the disaster was going to be. And then as a community, we had to figure out how to respond to it. And we did not know ahead of time what that disaster was going to be. So we were blind.
Yeah.
And that's really when my eyes opened. You know, I'm going to have a major part. And if something major happens in my county, there's going to be a lot of people looking at me to make decisions that I need to know what's going on and who to call and who to lean on.
And then we fast forward to 2023, and it's no longer an exercise.
It's no longer an exercise. We came back from that training in January of 2011, and then a few months later, the tornadoes that ripped through Tuscaloosa ripped through Autauga County 4 days before they came through Tuscaloosa, and we had 3 deaths in Autauga County. So we were able to work those plans. Everything worked fairly well. You know, there's always things you don't think about until after it happens because you don't really know what you're facing. So I think taking that training, we were very prepared in 2011. Now, that's been over 10 years ago, and people have changed. Offices have changed. Sheriffs have changed. EMA directors have changed. School officials have changed. And so 10 years forward, a lot of the people that were trained to respond are no longer there. So everybody's learning.
Well, and that timing for what happened in 2011 was certainly productive. But like you said, that's been 12 years.
Yes.
And you get emails, I suspect, on January 10th and January 11th from your EMA director saying there's a possibility of this. But I don't think you expected anything like what really happened.
No, we didn't. Ernie Baggett, our EMA director, he's very good about letting everybody know ahead of time what we think we may be facing. Of course, you never know. But we do have everyone in a text chain that he sends out all the reports from National Weather Service, the models that they're showing that, hey, this is where you're at in the weather. You have a slight risk, a moderate risk, or a high risk. So we kind of know that 2 or 3 days before the event takes place. You know, a lot of times we may be showing at a high risk and nothing happens. But we want to make sure we're standing ready to go if something does happen. And so out of every 10 times we're told something, maybe one time we're actually having to react to it. But it's good to have that early warning to know that you may need to react.
Well, that's a great point. I think over time, the public gets a little, you know, synthesized.
They do.
Well, you said it was going to be a bad day. It wasn't. You said it was going to be a bad day. It wasn't. And then January 12th comes, and you hear that the tornado's on the ground in Selma.
That's correct.
And you can draw a pretty good line from Selma to Autauga County. You got a pretty good idea of what's about to happen, right?
Yeah, you know, historically, if Selma, Dallas County gets hit by a tornado, the next place it's going to get hit is Autauga. I mean, the storms always track to the east, and we're directly east of Dallas County. So we always have somewhat of an early warning system in place that, hey, we're communicating with folks in Dallas County. They're telling us what's happening over there on the ground. And so it gives us about a 20 to 30 minute window that we know we're next. And so our EMA directors, our sheriff's departments, they're communicating with their sheriff's departments, their EMA directors, what are y'all seeing? If there's significant damage happening, we know that could take place in Autauga County. And that usually gives us, like I said, a 10 to 20 minute warning, because there is a lot of area that's rural and it's only trees and forests that these storms are going to travel across before it starts hitting our residents.
And so it's in Selma. You've got that little window. Then what does the county commission chairman do?
First thing I do is call EMA director and ask him, hey, does everybody know what's going on? Have we contacted our sheriff's department so they can start staging people out in the county in these areas that we think we're going to get hit? If we think it's going to be a significant storm or we know it's a significant storm, we go ahead and contact our ambulance provider to let him know, hey, we may need backup ambulances, try to get that stuff in line. We're always communicating with our largest city is Prattville. We have mutual aid with them. Let them know, hey, we think we're fixing to get hit. We may need you. And usually they're on standby, ready to go with their fire departments, police departments, and their ambulance service also. So we try to get the things lined up, make sure if we do get hit, we're a little bit ahead of it. We never know exactly what's going to happen, but we want to make sure that we have people in place. We have boots on the ground as close as possible to give us positive feedback what's going on.
Then what about you? All that's being done by a team of people. When the spotlight falls on the commission chairman on a day like this, what are they looking for from you?
Me personally, I'm not the expert in the field, so I want to make sure the people that we have hired to be the expert in the field, like our EMA directors, our sheriffs that are elected officials, they know what's going on. They're going to know the law enforcement side better than I'm going to know the law enforcement side. Our EMA director's going to know the EMA side better than I'm going to know the EMA side. So as chairman, I want to make sure I've hired the best people I can in the spots that make a difference. And I'm going to lean on them to tell me what they need from me. And I'm kind of a resource for them. You know, what can I do for you? You do your job. You've been hired to do this. I trust you. You just tell me what you need from us. He says, I need dump trucks out, backhoes out, because there's limbs and trees in the road. We're going to send dump trucks and chainsaws. But I'm going to let the people we've hired to do the job do the job.
And is that what you learned from this year's experience, or is there something else?
Yeah, you can never micromanage a situation like we had on the 12th, because it was a 30-mile-long track. And so if you try to micromanage something like that, you're going to have another disaster within your disaster. So you need to let your people that are your boots on the ground, the ones that know what they're doing, give you the information they're seeing, let them make the decisions they need to make, and make the best decisions we can at the time.
And support your emergency management.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, it's like an insurance policy. You hate to pay for it up front, but when something happens, you sure are glad you had that insurance. And EMA is kind of like an insurance policy for the county. We hope we never need to use it. We hope we never have a disaster. But when we do, we'll make sure we have the best plan and policy in place to cover our county.
Well, Jay, we're grateful for your leadership as president of the association this year, getting the chance to work more closely with you in that role, and certainly the leadership you provided for Autauga County on January 12th.
I've enjoyed it, Sonny, and it's been great, the people that have reached out all across the state. I'm not sure that I would have had as many people reach out and ask if we needed help if I haven't been involved in the association. Not that I'm just the president. I don't think it's just that. It's that you make these friendships and these relationships, and if it weren't for those friendships and relationships, we may be sitting all by ourselves trying to do it all on our own, but right now we do have a lot of counties helping us, and I do appreciate that.
And that's one of the things I smile about the most is when we hear this is hit in this county. You know, people from Baldwin County went to Coosa County. It wasn't reported. Nobody made a big deal about it. We're just being a family.
Yeah, I mean, I've not had another county say, hey, I want to come to Tall County and help, but make sure there's a news reporter there to report that we're there to help. You know, they haven't asked for anything for it, but what can we do to help you? That's all they've asked me.
Well, again, we appreciate you joining us today to talk a little bit about County Commission's role in responding during times of disaster.
Thank you, Sonny.
Well, now I'll turn our attention to Alabama in the national spotlight. As we discussed a few months ago on the 2 North Jackson podcast, the Association of County Engineers of Alabama is hosting the national convention of the National Association of County Engineers. It is really a natural outgrowth of Alabama's leadership in this arena, not just right now, but over the last three decades. We'll be joined today by Josh Harville, who is the Chambers County Engineer, but is much, much more than that. Former president of the Association of County Engineers of Alabama, an active leader for us here in the state on anything related to county government, not just county engineering. He's chair of the Liability Funds Board of Trustees. He's Southeast Regional VP for NACE. He's co-chair of this year's Planning Committee for Alabama's opportunity to host the National Convention in April. And Josh, I guess every now and then you take a nap too, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate you joining us today to talk a little bit about the NACE conference that's 3 years later than planned, right?
That's correct. COVID kind of threw us a curveball and we detoured to 2023.
That's right. We were up and ready to go to host this convention in 2020. And one of the first casualties of COVID was this conference being shifted to a virtual conference. And we were absolutely committed to getting this event back here. Could you talk a little bit about the national convention, how many people we're looking at coming here to Alabama, and why on earth do we want to host this convention in the first place?
Well, I'll start with attendance. We're expecting a large group of engineers from, first and foremost, Alabama, which, as you said earlier, I currently serve as the Southeastern Region VP for NACE. And in that region, there are several states that join Alabama, and those are Tennessee, Mississippi, Maryland, Kentucky, and Florida. And we, by far, have the largest members from a state association as it relates to NACE. So as we host, as a Southeast region, this conference, and it's shifted between our regions annually. We have five regions in NACE. When we get our opportunity to host here in the Southeast region, we expect a large group of engineers from Alabama to attend, just as they do all of our affiliate meetings here in the state and in the convention in August. But then we'll also have a large group that'll make the trip, obviously, to beautiful Baldwin County. So we're probably going to be, Sunny, between 300 and 400 delegates. And then we'll have another 100 vendors on top of that, and then some guests. I'm sure there'll be a lot of spouses that'll join their significant other on the beach for the convention.
Well, we're headquartered at the Perdido Beach Resort. Everyone in county government is familiar with that facility, but a meeting this large means that people will be staying in other hotels and you will be holding off-site events. I thought we might talk a minute about the unique idea for an outdoor equipment show that is kind of, as I look at it, the centerpiece of this big national event and was really the brainchild of you and a couple of others who said, let's show off Alabama.
Yes, sir. So on April 18th, we will be at the wharf. Obviously, that'll be offsite from the Perdido Beach Resort. We'll have a equipment show that evening, but we'll have a traditional exhibit hall that'll be there around the lunch hour, and then we'll transition to an equipment show over actually at the wharf that afternoon and evening. I will say that the idea really started with Richie Beyer, who's the co-chair of this committee, and a great idea of giving our vendors our full attention for a whole day, and that's what we plan to do. Whether they want a traditional type vendor show there in the exhibit hall at the convention center, or whether they would like to have their equipment showcased, we will do that at the wharf. They should have plenty of opportunity to get one-on-one time with engineers from across the country. It'll be a great opportunity for the vendors, a great opportunity for our members, but it's going to be a lot of work on the Alabama engineers. And we need a lot of volunteers, and we have a lot of volunteers set up to make sure the logistics of that work flawlessly.
Well, and that's one thing I did want to spend a minute talking about, and that is the coordination and involvement of what we'll call Team Alabama to make this convention be what we can be satisfied with, which is that it's the best convention that NACE has had in a long, long time.
Yes, we need 100% buy-in from all of our members to be there with a smile on their face and ready to work from early morning to late evening, especially on Tuesday. I hope that if there are commissioners listening to this podcast today, Sonny, if you don't mind me saying this, I hope that they support their engineers and assistant engineers and possibly other staff members to attend. You asked a question earlier, and I didn't answer it fully, but you asked a little bit about NACE and why it's important to be involved. And that's a big question, but I will answer it from my perspective. So since I've been in county engineering, I've seen three presidents from Alabama, and I've only been doing this a little over 20 years. So in 20 years, we've had three national presidents. Got to see Randy Cole as president, Richie Beyer as president, and now, obviously, Henry County's own Chris Champion is our current president. So the leadership that our association provides to NACE has been entrenched in that organization for a long, long time. And I don't have to get into the impacts it has at the national level. Obviously, county engineers, it's no different than here at our state level. It's just on national issues as it relates to transportation. You know, we are who commissioners look for advice and guidance on issues that affect road and bridges. And there's a whole lot of other issues and layers to that. But at the national level, they depend on our leaders to share their advice. So if you can, I would just ask that you support your engineers to be there. We need them from a volunteer standpoint, but we really need to show Chris the respect and be there for him and to support him when on Wednesday at the annual banquet, we honor his year as president of the National Association of County Engineers.
And that's right. We're extremely proud of Chris, and he's done a fabulous job this year as president. But,
really,
beyond that, we're just extremely proud of what I think just about everyone in the country agrees is the best county engineers association in America. And it rests with this community that the men and women who hold these jobs have built over decades. I mean, when I came to work here 35 years ago, Buddy Sharpless said, the heart and soul of this organization is the county administrators and the county engineers, and they're a family. And that's something about counties that hadn't changed even today. I mean, for you, you started working in the county engineering office there in Chambers County when you were a student at Auburn. And in 2002, I think you're in Russell County for a little less than a year. And then you've been right there in Chambers County as an engineer and as a leader of this organization for more than two decades. So for me, the idea of having this convention is just a natural outgrowth of who we are.
Most definitely, Sonny. I have said it and I'll say it again. Very proud of my degree from Auburn University. Learned a lot there. But I think what that degree did was it provided me an opportunity to get to know some pretty awesome individuals in county government. And I have learned how to be a county engineer from other engineers in the state, from other engineers nationally, from you and your staff, commissioners. I've been impacted by so many in county government, and that's led me to the role I have now and continuing to grow as a county engineer and a leader here in Chambers County. But you're right, this convention symbolizes that, just how much we can grow as individuals, as leaders in our own county by networking and growing our network, not only here in our state, but nationally.
And the event scheduled for April 16th through 19th at the Perdido Beach Resort. And as you said, one of the things we're expected to do is to have a big crowd there, not only to bolster attendance and to show our support and to provide our leadership, but to handle all the details of moving 400 people from the Perdido Beach Resort to the wharf and moving them back, to running all the technical sessions and providing speakers for many of those sessions. This really is a family event, and we need the whole family participating.
Yes, sir. And I tell you, we've got a committed group down there in Baldwin County. Joey Nunnally is one of our officers and obviously county engineer down there, and his staff, Frank Lundy's been very involved. They're committed to helping us as much as possible and have done a lot of work helping us plan for some of the logistical issues that we're going to face. And they're putting together a volunteer schedule. So they had a lot on their plate, but they can't put that volunteer schedule together without, number one, having support from commissions across the state for their staff to be there, and then for us as staff to be there in support. So, Sonny, I think on Tuesday, that day that we have the offsite event, we need close to 60 people that day to make sure, like you said, that we show everyone not only a good time, but a very organized event. That's a lot of people, a lot of help that's needed.
Well, that's right. But we'll answer the call. We always have, and we always will. And again, it's an opportunity for us to be who we say we are. You know, we say we're 67 counties, one voice. When we go to NACO events, we say, hey, y'all look at us. Y'all can learn from us. And that's the truth. And here's us an opportunity to show that. And I'm excited about it. I'm grateful to you and Richie for being co-chairs. I'm grateful for Joey and his staff and all the engineers who've said, hey, let me participate. There's still some more room. And so we're looking for other folks to make sure they register and make sure they participate. But more than that, we want the county family to know that the county engineers continue to provide national leadership. Josh, I appreciate very much not only you joining us today and not only you being co-chair and serving as the Southeast Regional VP, but for what you do here in Alabama to make our efforts on behalf of county government successful. Thanks very much, and I appreciate you joining us today.
You're very welcome. I look forward to seeing everybody in April.
And finally, we'll turn our attention to the relationship between elected officials and the various state agencies here in Montgomery. I'm joined today by Lori Hall, the immediate past president of the Probate Judges Association and probate judge in Marengo County, along also with Barry Willingham, the revenue commissioner in Cullman County, who serves today as president of the Alabama Association of Tax Administrators. Thanks for joining me, y'all.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us.
Well, let's start with something that is really unique in Alabama. We always say if you've seen 67 counties, you've seen 67 different ways of dealing with things. And certainly, if you look at Alabama's relationship between county government and state government, it's unique around the country as well. Both of you elected by the voters in your communities to carry out some very specific and certainly very important functions. But from time to time, things state agencies do, just to be honest, makes it harder for you to do your job, right?
Absolutely. You know, we are on the front lines being county officials, and we work very hard to have good relationships with these state offices. But unfortunately, sometimes being at the state level, you're more removed from dealing directly with the public, and decisions are made that we have to implement at the county level, and we get the immediate feedback. So it can be difficult to implement decisions from that level.
And Barry, from the tax office, we see this every year. Decisions that are made in Montgomery impact your ability to collect taxes. And for the county commissioners, then it impacts our ability to pay for government.
I agree. It seems like we're having every year a wider and wider disconnect with communication, with what we do on a daily basis and what's required by law and what we hear from Montgomery sometimes.
And certainly those who have been paying attention and actively involved in county government the last couple of years know that we've had an ongoing back and forth with the Alabama Department of Revenue over how tax officials will appraise a certain kind of low-income housing property. And Barry, we saw this back and forth between a state agency and elected officials. That issue continues.
It does. And we have to defend the values that we arrive at. It seems that when we have certain entities that can have influence, it makes our job harder.
Well, it does. And then it means we have to defend those things in court as well. And the public doesn't understand that you're not doing your job. You're doing what someone else is telling you. And then we look up after the close of the 2022 regular session and the licensing officials in each county, those that issue tags, whether it be revenue commissioners or probate judges, were hit with a new directive. And Judge Hall, I know that that's an issue that you've been wrestling with.
It is. And just discussing things that we implement on behalf of the state, a few years ago, they started with the MLI, which is having the insurance. And if you are driving and fail to have insurance and the system catches that, we have to collect that on the front side. And again, it's an area we are put in to work on behalf of the state, implement changes to our customers without having any interaction or communication with the state before it's implemented. And we just got hit again with this. Just briefly, that was a bill that was passed for boat titles, and it grew into something much greater. And we're just now getting this information, and it's going to put us in a similar situation to try to implement a system that was established on the state level with zero input from the probate judges associations, license officials, tax revenue, and puts us all in a bad situation to implement a new procedure that Barry and I and our associations have discussed. Just it really won't work the way that it's set up right now.
Well, and the troubling part about that is something that you said, and I wrote down because I loved it, because it made sense even to a guy who went to public school in Alabama. We're doing this work on behalf of the state. And really, we remember that county government was created to deliver services and to assist the state in providing services. And it's really, really hard to do that if we're not included.
Oh, absolutely. For example, other than the specific matter that's happened recently, I mean, we came into work a couple of years ago and driver's license fees were essentially doubled and we had no notice whatsoever. We found out when our first customer came in with a doubled driver's license fee and we were just as surprised as the public was. There's been plenty of times we've had issues. Barry, I'm sure y'all had this as well, that we find out information from the public or from social media for things that are set up by the state that we have to implement. And we had no notice beforehand and are finding out along with or from the public.
I think the issue that I see more is we're the boots on the ground dealing with the customers on a daily basis. I'm a medium-sized county with population a little over 90,000, I believe. We waited on over 90,000 customers last year. We processed over 22,000 titles. So we have people in my office that has 25 years experience dealing with customers, dealing with tags on a daily basis, and nobody has any concern of how's your process. They ask the question after the deal's already done.
Well, those numbers are kind of staggering to me. If I start trying to say, gosh, take that times 67, and how on earth would the state of Alabama administer this at the local level? And the answer is they couldn't. So it makes this whole process even more troubling. And as we get ready to look toward a new legislative session, what else is around the corner for us? What's the next shoe that falls? And at what point does the time come that we ought to raise our hand and say, we've got to do something about this relationship?
Absolutely. And it's not just one specific department. Every year for our association, which I've been in for over 10 years, you look forward very anxiously to the legislative session, wondering, to put it bluntly, what we're going to get hit with this year. Because I'm very involved. I go to Montgomery routinely. Our association has become excessively involved with legislative matters. We've got lobbyists that keep information to us so that we're aware as much as we can be. And it never fails. Every year, there are multiple bills that are dropped that some make it through the system that we get hit with and either we're uninvolved with, unaware of, or that ultimately pass despite maybe an objection to or not having any involvement with. And it's frustrating because we want to be able to do our jobs the best we can for our constituents, for the public, and for our office staff, just to make sure everything runs smoothly. And as probate judge and Barry with the AATA, we deal with that. But I know the commission, actually, they catch a lot of the fallout from things that our customers get frustrated. We try to explain, and then commissioners get phone calls, and it ends up that your local level officers, we face the feedback from those issues.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you talked about the legislative session and the challenges that the tax officials and probate judges face. And we work so much more closely together today than we did 10 or 15 years ago. And I think we're much more effective because if there's legislation that's concerning to the probate judges, then it's concerning to the county commissioners, because if it's going to cost you more money, if it's going to make you more inefficient, if it's going to make it harder for the tax officials to collect revenue effectively, then county government has an investment in it. And for that reason, we'll likely have legislation that all three organizations will work on this session to try to stop or slow down the flow of these agency mandates. And it'll be important that all three organizations work on this together.
Following that, I appreciate the relationship that we have had and are continuing to grow between the Probate Judges Association and Sunny with you and the County Commission Association, and our meetings each year, sometimes each month, with updates and information of things that will affect the probate judges as well as the county commission. I know you and your team have done a great job of putting together information for us and the website. I know that recently and over the last few years, I've reached out to you if something's come up that's going to affect us, and I know is also going to affect the local county commission or the state. For example, this new title system that has come out from this vessel bill, you know, I reached out to you immediately because I know this is going to be something that's going to impact all of our offices.
And Barry, as we get ready for the session, again, back to the low income housing appraisal issue, counties are feeling the impact of lost revenue from that decision that came down from the Department of Revenue without any warning and without any input. And that's the kind of thing we need to point out to legislators and then work together to stop.
You know, my belief as elected officials is we need to have a partnership. And I think our association has done real well in communicating with the Association of County Commissioners over the last several years that I've been a part of it. We have a partnership because as elected officials, you know, representing Republic, I represent the people of Colvin County and try to keep the best interest of my citizens. And then you as a part of your association, you're looking out for the county commission. And I know the Department of Revenue is looking out for the state, but we need to have better communication to have a partnership. I think that's what we're not having anymore. We don't have that partnership where we're all looking out for the citizens of the state, not just individuals sometimes.
Well, and sometimes relationships reach a point that it's necessary to shine a little light on the situation, because I don't think you repair those problems and I don't think you address a more efficient way going forward if you don't put all your cards on the table. And
exactly.
This has been a very, very frank discussion, and I'm grateful for both of you being willing to talk about the difficulties that we faced. And I know we've talked about one specific state agency, but county officials deal with other agencies as well. And the the issue is the same, and that is elected officials at the local level were elected to carry out a job. And if we didn't all believe in local government, we wouldn't be doing this.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, I appreciate both of you joining us today for this frank conversation about an issue that is extremely important and one that is likely to come up during the 2023 session. Everybody keep your ears to the ground, and we'll keep you posted on efforts to make improvements in this relationship issue. Thanks again for joining us for this month's Two North Jackson podcast, and we look forward to catching up with each of you during next month's episode, which will be released on Tuesday, February 28th. Have a nice day, and thanks.